Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning. It is that time again for Atlanta Business Radio Show. Today is the 16th day of September 2015, and we have a very exciting episode here today. We got a jam-packed studio full of a great guest from a cross-section of professions out there in the Atlanta community, and we're delighted to have them featured here today on our show. I'm your host, Ryan McPherson, so please stick around with us as we begin to introduce our guests and get into some of these compelling conversations with them. First, let's say hello to Jen Martin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good. And you're with Girl Found It, Develop It.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about that, please.
So Girl Develop It is a nonprofit for women teaching them software development and code.
And you're with the Atlanta chapter.
I am with the Atlanta chapter.
And how long have you been in that position?
Actually, tomorrow will be our one-year anniversary.
Okay.
So it's only been open for a year.
I can't believe it took a year for you to get on the Business Radio X network.
Actually, this is my second time.
Okay, so you have been in here before.
Yes.
Great. So we look forward to hearing more about your role there, how Girl Development is doing good things in the community. So please stick around as we introduce our other guests. Seated next to her on our radio left is Mike Potts, CEO and president of Landcope. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ryan. Good to be with you.
Our pleasure. And tell us about Landcope.
Landcope is a network security company. We're based here in Alpharetta, and we provide operational visibility and security intelligence to the Global 2000. We have over 700 companies worldwide, with now over 320 employees, just about 15 minutes up the road here from you.
In Alpharetta, but you do business all over, not just in the Atlanta area.
That's right. We're a global company, and we're virtually in every vertical. We're not specific. We're financial services, telecom, higher education, governments worldwide, and intel agencies are using our products to solve critical cyber problems.
Yeah, and that's a growing industry for sure. So the sky's the limit over there with Landcope and who you can service out there in the professional world.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. We look to hear more about that in detail in just a few more moments, but let's also introduce Gigi Pedraza. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation.
Our pleasure. Thank you for joining us. You are managing partner with Yo Soy M.
Correct.
And how long have you been in that position?
Almost a year.
Almost a year.
Yes, it's a social venture, and it's almost a year old.
Okay, and we're going to talk to you in combination with Judith Martinez Sardri.
Correct. You got it right.
It took me a minute there. I may get it right the first time, but the second or third time.
Martinez will do.
All right,
my
Judith
husband
Martinez.
Isn't listening.
Okay. Very nice. And you're also with Yo Soy M.
Correct.
As a founder and of the organization. Is that right?
Correct.
Tell us about that, please.
It is a social venture that my business partner and I, Gigi, and I started to empower women, specifically Latinas, to pursue professional development, business opportunities, and just self-growth.
Right, and I see it's a social entrepreneur organization, a community advocate, and experience in the areas of helping women learn and develop to the software and the coding side of things, right?
We hope that we can get a partnership here with our friend, maybe
okay.
to teach that down the road.
I would love
but
that.
But I just think that it could be a great partnership. Yeah.
No, it sounds great. And I see you have some background also in the broadcasting industry.
Correct.
So share with our listeners a little bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, I'm a former news director and news anchor for Telemundo Atlanta, one of the Spanish networks in town. I left a year ago to have a more of a life balance career, but I'm the first Mexican-American to win an Emmy for Best News Anchor, and I have to brag about it.
As you should. You're a three-time Emmy winner and a Gabby Award winner. How
Correct.
Is that?
Yes.
You have
yes.
those on display at home on the mantle?
Well, recently I had to take them down because my kids were feeling the pressure. They were telling me, Mom, I don't know if I'm going to get one of those. Just hide them. But yes, that's what I've done for the past 3 years.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So we're delighted to have you in the
Thank
studio.
You.
And hopefully you can share with some of our listeners maybe some bilingual opportunities for
Claro
folks.
Que sí. Yeah. Muy bien.
Wonderful. Love to hear that. So so let's talk about Yo Soy M. It's something you, again, founded about a year ago. What was the impetus behind all that? Who had the idea, and then what did it take to get started?
Well, I had the idea first to make an event, a massive event for women only, for Latinas. And I was like, well, there have been similar attempts, but not an expo with a stage, with speakers, with services for our community. So I was going through my list of good friends and experienced friends in the business, and I could not find, I found the best at it with experience in event planning, with experience in community development, with experience in strategic alliances. And I called my friend Gigi one day and I say, hey, Gigi, how you been? Listen, I want to make an event. And she goes, yeah, I like to work for you. I said, no, I want you to work with me. So let's partner. And that's how it started, right?
Correct. So I am a community organizer and an entrepreneur at heart. I started my first business at 14, at 10 years old, selling Hello Kitty stickers in school.
Okay.
Which was very successful. And from then I went on to become a contractor and consultant for Latino serving nonprofits. So I, like Judith said, we met many years ago and, you know, through my work and Judith's work, we identify a gap in the market, which was basically outreach to Latinas. Latinas are decision makers in our community, and there's absolutely no organization dedicated to them, to connect them to the right resources, to connect them to the right information for whatever they want to do in their lives. So we put together this organization, which, like Judith said, is a social venture, and our platform is connections. So we build communities. We connect through building communities, digital communities, and also communities on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And so the communities that we do are on Facebook, local women, and also community events, grassroots events. And the event that Judith was mentioned, that's the crown jewel of our organization, is called Expo Mujer. And it's, again, a big expo, resource fair, and live talk show for Latinas mm-hmm. and their families.
So any Latino women, whether they're a business professional, whether they're a homemaker, or whether they're a young student looking to go into the career field, your organization can provide outreach, support, or guidance on for any of those women out there.
Yes. The expo, we have currently about 70 exhibitors that go from the nonprofit sector to middle and medium-sized businesses to corporations that value the importance of the Hispanic market, and specifically women. We make 86% of the purchasing decisions at home. I'm an exception. I make almost 99%. But in many, I think this goes across cultures and you know, different backgrounds. Sometimes we need to decide pretty much on everything. Mm-hmm. And like Gigi mentioned, both of us have been in Atlanta for about 15 years, and we've never seen anything like that for this particular market. And we thought it was the time to do it. Mm-hmm. So yes, we will have business owners who want to grow their business. There will be opportunities for them. We have moms who want to start to change their career. Many of our community ladies were lawyers and doctors in their country, but here they cannot practice because they have to start over again. Mm-hmm. So there will be business opportunities for them if they want to change their career. A very important component of this event is that we are offering free childcare, sponsored by the YMCA. And that is just, you know, it is great. We don't want any lady or family to have an excuse or where to leave the children to come and learn and see all the resources available for them.
Whether you're a business owner or a professional, whether you're female or male, this sounds like an opportunity to get involved and to be able to give back to the community and to help grow your awareness and profile of your business as well.
Correct. Right. It's also a great business-to-business opportunity. You don't have to be Latino for that, because like Judith said, you know, we're one of the fastest growing demographics. When you look about entrepreneurship, Latinas are, you know, spearheading growth, next to African-American women on business development and creating business opportunities and employment opportunities. So we have a lot of business partners that come just to do some data collection, to do focus group, to face-to-face experience, you know, what Latino market needs in Georgia. And there's just no other opportunity, no other event, no other place.
Right. And what a great place to have it here in Atlanta, you know, with the multicultural environment we have. We are an international city.
And Gwinnett County, one of most diverse counties in the country.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And to be able to do it where people can come out. And let's talk about the event itself. Is it an all-day affair? Do you buy tickets? Can anyone attend for free? Or what is it?
It is a free event.
Okay.
And we made a business decision to make it free because it's the first one and we want everyone to come. If you don't speak Spanish, it doesn't matter. You're more than welcome to come. So the event starts from 10 o'clock in the morning and it goes all the way to 5 o'clock. Like I said, we have currently about 70 exhibitors. We also have a stage where I'm going to be mainly leading all the workshops and the panels.
She's the queen. Stage queen.
She makes 99% of the decisions
well,
over here.
You
so.
Know, it has to, I have to use my talent. But so we're having different panels, interactive panels. And this event is sponsored by the largest television station in Spanish. We're going to have their anchors also interacting with the audience. And there will be taping a show that will be aired on Univision that very same night. So we have that component. It's also an opportunity, like I said, to learn about fashion. About we have a health aisle with a mini health fair. We have a beauty aisle. Oh. We have the business and development aisle. We have the food aisle. So if you just want to come and eat something that you usually wouldn't eat in any event, you can come. It's free. And we're just so excited that this could be a great opportunity for other communities to join and to do business with us. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is the first of hopefully many expos that not only in Atlanta, but around the country that could happen. Mm-hmm. And are you partnering with some of the organizations out there, like the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce or any of those associations or groups out there?
We have over 25 partners. That are the ones providing the services. We are a platform, a connection platform, and they are the ones providing the services, the experts in their area. So the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the Latin American Chamber of Commerce, you know, everything, Ser Familia, Caminar Latino, all the organizations, the YMCA, the American Heart Association, the Mexican Consulate, they will be there providing services. And but Ryan, let me tell you, Expo Mujer is just one of our events. We do many other things other than our Facebook community that you can join, and it's Yo Soy Mujer Latina. We also have, for example, Bazar Latino, which is an open marketplace for micro entrepreneurs. So, you know, ladies that, you know, bake at home, ladies that make jewelry, that sometimes don't feel comfortable attending a chamber or going to the commerce club or, you know, just investing on big media, they can come feature their products, practice their pitches, get feedback, and get support. So we do all the promotion. We had the first one a few weeks ago. We had over 300 professional women come and shop and support the community because our platform is Women for Women, mm-hmm. Latinas for Latinas. And it was very successful. It was great. So stay tuned because we're going to have another one in December too.
Definitely stay tuned or go to their website, yosoym.com, for more information about this event or upcoming events. We're talking with Judith Martinez. She's managing partner with Yo Soy M, and Gigi Pedraza. She's also managing partner with Yo Soy M. So you girls got together, came up with the idea about a year ago. What were some of those big hurdles or challenges you found in the beginning that made this difficult to put together before you could say, all right, I think we're on to something here?
Well, you know, working together, I guess it's been an exciting time, pretty much. We have, our heart is on the same place. So, I guess the biggest challenge really was to get support from corporations, from larger corporations, because they usually want track record and they want you to make 20 events before you even knock on their door. We worked really hard. We focused on putting all the numbers together, all the presentation, and they could not believe it was the first time we were doing because it looked very professional, well done, well presented. And we also took advantage of our connections with the community or our track record. Gigi put together several events over the past 15 years. Also my background with the media, and mm-hmm. before that I was also business owner and entrepreneur. That helped. But getting the economical support from corporations, I think it was the hardest one. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. I think there is, you know, some misconception that, you know, all Latinos are poor, don't speak English, and, you know, we don't have healthcare and we just need help. And, you know, that is absolutely not true. First of all, we are a very innovative, creative community, very strong community, family-centered. And the majority of us, you know, are very entrepreneurial. We all have businesses. I mean, the employment rate for Latino women in Georgia is 92%. It doesn't mean that we're all working in corporation. It means we do things to make money. And that is a huge quality and a huge talent. So, but bridging that gap of seeing us as, you know, poor people, they need help, and they are actually a great business growth opportunity, business development opportunity. We need to invest in them. That's a gap that, you know, we are doing our best to bridge. But, you know, we've had a lot of pushback from corporations saying, oh, why would professional people come and get into a crowd to learn about education? And I said, well, you know, I have a master's degree. I only got my first credit card 4 years ago because in my country, when I was growing up, there were no credit cards. We live, you know, surrounded by terrorism. There were no banks issuing credit cards. So I didn't know about it. Mm-hmm. It took me 10 years to feel comfortable to get one. So I'm the perfect example why this is needed.
No, thank you for sharing that personal insight there, because that certainly is a valid point to a lot of the misconceptions out there that people may be thinking. So this sounds like it's a family-centered event. As you mentioned, the Latino community is very family-centered. Most of it centered around the women, the mothers and the grandmothers and such. And so would you encourage people to bring their families to this event?
Oh, absolutely. For example, like I mentioned, the YMCA will be sponsoring the kids area. They will be also launching an education program for grandmas who take care of the kids, for nannies, for mothers, even for parents, I mean, for fathers as well. So it's not only come and have fun, but also come and learn.
And that event is November 14th at the Infinity Center in Gwinnett, formerly the Gwinnett Arena.
Correct.
So you can go on the website to get tickets. Don't wait until the day of the event to get your tickets. Go ahead and get them now so you can start planning out your day. And this does seem like a great idea. It sounds like it's something that has been done before, or can't believe it has not been done before. And is that some of the feedback you're getting?
It's not. Everyone is thinking like, wow, it is an event that's never happened. There have been, like I said, small events, but at that venue with that projected audience of 3,000 women, according to our media sponsors, is just something that you don't want to miss. You can go to expomujerga.com or josoym.com and find all the information, and we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, and please let us know here at Business Radio X and Atlanta Business Radio Show if we can help you any further to get the word out or provide some services for you. That would be wonderful. And Gigi, share with our listeners some other ways people can find out more about your organization or the event itself.
Well, we have our Facebook community, Yo Soy Mujer Latina on Facebook. It's a bilingual community. You're, you know, welcome to join us, like us anytime. You can find all of our events there. YoSoyM.com, ExpoMujerGA.com. And we also have our Twitter account, YoSoyM_. You can follow us there.
Very good. And, you know, you can also find this episode posted at BusinessRadioX.com, where all their information will be listed and links to their information and their event. So please check that out in the coming days as well. And so thank you, ladies, for joining us so much.
Gracias.
My pleasure. And I know this is going to be a successful event. And please let us know how we can help, or come back after the event and let us know, you know, going forward, if there's anything else we can do for you here at Business Radio X. So please stick around as we turn our attention next to our following guest, Mr. Mike Potts. He is currently the CEO of LandCope and leads all aspects of the company's strategic direction and day-to-day operations. Since joining the company in April of 2010, LandCope has experienced more than 400% growth. And Potts brings more than 25 years of experience as a seasoned technology industry veteran spanning the application and security sectors. Welcome to the show, Mr. Mike Potts.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right. So, yeah, you've got quite an extensive background. Tell us a little bit about your backstory briefly, and then what led you up to LandCope.
Well, my tech career originated in Atlanta, much like a lot of the other folks in the technology industry here, through MSA. The late John Imlay founded MSA and was really the mentor of many folks like me, including guys like Tom Noonan, that went on to run Internet Security Systems that spawned the security industry here in Atlanta. But most recently, before LandCope, I ran a wireless security company, a company called Air Defense, and we basically were protecting 802.11 networks, similar to the ones that you use in your home, but retailers, banks, insurance companies, et cetera, were all deploying wireless and needed wireless intrusion prevention, and that's what Air Defense specialized in. Motorola acquired Air Defense back in 2008, and after that, I had a thesis working with a couple of the investors that there was going to be a new age of security, a new paradigm of security that was going to emerge. And it just so happened that LandCope in this particular market was on that cutting edge, albeit they were so early in the market. They were really a security 2.0 company when everybody was buying 1.0, similar to Air Defense buying perimeter-based defense systems. And as the perimeter became porous, and we're all seeing this right now, the number of attacks has increased, particularly from within the network. 50% of all these cyber attacks have originated beyond the perimeter, relegating the perimeter to being useless to stop that type of espionage or data exfiltration. So that led me to LandCope 5.5 years ago, and we've experienced tremendous growth. as the security industry fundamentally made that shift from 1.0 to 2.0.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, here we are in 2015. LandCope is servicing the community, but let's talk about some of those services particular that you provide for your customers.
Well, LandCope is a network security company providing operational visibility and security intelligence is really leveraging the network. We're turning the network into an online sensor. If you think about it from the perspective of the electricity flowing through the network, we're harnessing that electricity, and that's propagating our product, StealthWatch, giving that visibility of what is actually happening to detect that type of an attack that the perimeter hasn't been able to detect. So we can, using the network as a sensor, determine who, what, when, where, and how things begin to go awry and quickly mediate that type of an attack or that type of breach on a network.
So you've got a built-in almost defense network that can tell when something is coming into the network immediately, but do you also provide those services to counter that attack or remedy it as quickly as possible?
We handle remediation in a number of different ways with handoffs to partners or shutting down zones of the network. But what we're really specializing in turning that network into a sensor is what we call the mean time to know. If you think about when you go to a doctor, if you have a sinus infection, most of the time it's trying to figure out what's wrong with the patient. Is it viral or bacterial? About 80 to 90%, the doctor is asking all these questions, trying to figure out what's really wrong with the patient. Describing the remediation is actually the easy part. Once they know exactly what's wrong with you, they can shut down the cold, if you will, with the proper medication. And that's really what we're doing in helping companies understand what's wrong, what's gone wrong, who, how, what, and where, and then beginning to remediate it. There are a number of different ways to shut that type of an attack or abuse down.
Very interesting. So you're providing that holistic approach to detecting it, but as well as diagnosing it and then remedying the security breach, whatever it may be. Do you find certain industries are more at risk than others?
In today's cyber world, where especially the Internet of Things is evolving and everything is developing or will have an IP device, the multitude of companies that are affected by this really across the board. I mentioned a few moments ago that we're horizontal in our focus, whether it be retail, tech, government, higher education. Companies like Cisco, in fact, are not only a partner, but they're a large customer. Companies like HP, the Department of Defense, and virtually every intel agency, also on a global basis, are using our products to solve some of the most critical cyber problems.
Is there at a point when you know your business needs to implement a plan like this, or when you're just a small business growing, cybersecurity is not something you think of right off the bat, but as you grow and begin to grow your customer base, it certainly should be. So what do you recommend along those lines?
It's a great point, Ryan. I mean, we live in a day and time right now, just over my 5 years of being with the company, there were two types of companies, those that have been compromised and those that will be. To fast forwarding to today, those that have been compromised and know it, and those that have been compromised and don't know it, virtually every company is susceptible to a data breach. And again, the key is to try to understand where it is and remediate it as quickly as possible. But leading into that question really is the establishment of a incident response plan. If you know you're going to get compromised, then you need to run the fire drills associated with how am I going to determine where it's at, who is affected, how am I going to shut it down, and then is it worthy to communicate to the public or to the internal employees, and at what level do we understand enough to ensure that type of attack doesn't happen again through those incident response capabilities?
So you find yourself being vulnerable or weak when you think you don't need help. You know, your network needs help, whether you're a small startup or you're a growing Fortune 500 company. Really, that's the first step, is recognizing you will be attacked and what can we do about it previously, and then what is our battle plan going afterwards?
That's exactly it. And enterprise companies are becoming more aware of that. We're still behind. I mean, we're still at a phase right now where the balance of the investment needs to shift versus just throwing everything at the perimeter. It's a good idea to lock the front doors using AVs, firewalls, intrusion detection systems, but it is balancing that and using the network security capabilities with products like StealthWatch to get that visibility to understand that an attack is going to occur and how do you shut it down. And we're seeing companies, too, in the managed service security market evolve, too, for those global 2,000 entities that don't have the people, process, and technology to actually help those smaller companies do just that.
We're speaking with Mike Potts. He's president and CEO of Landcope. You can learn more information about him and the organization at landcope.com. So I see you recommend there's one thing that each company can do, regardless of size, that they can do to prevent or at least mitigate a security breach.
Well, first thing starts with education, and I can't emphasize that enough. I mean, there's things that are intuitively obvious. Don't click on suspicious links. Don't launch a piece of malware within your company where somebody can capture the security codes that you're using to log on to your bank accounts. I know it's simplistic, but that's basic education. The next thing is knowing that that's going to happen, get network security visibility. Mm-hmm. So when that does that attack does arise at some threshold, breaks down, make sure you understand who is affected, how, what, where, and when to shut it down. But education, and don't do things that you shouldn't do and clicking on links that you're not certain of.
And if you need some education, make sure you visit our website, businessradiox.com, to learn more information about Landcope and how they can service you. We'll have Mike's full bio and links to their website on our page, to look for that here shortly. And also, you said there's three things every organization needs to have as part of their crisis plan. So once you've been breached, once you've had something go wrong in the network, what are those three things that you need to kind of hold it all together?
Well, the three things you need, you know, is the intelligence to be able to solve the problem. Again, it goes back to the visibility. Part of the problem right now is that companies are suffering from is that they don't have the visibility, so they can't measure. There's an old Drucker adage that unless you can measure, you can't manage it. And security, if you can't see it, you can't secure it. So getting that visibility to try to understand who, what, when, where, and how, and then also how to quarantine it, remove it. And then really, again, to make sure that you know the pinpoint so it doesn't happen again and you build up your defense systems just like you defend yourself against a cold.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking a lot about how these attacks come from all over the world, from outside the organization. But can you prepare for an attack from with inside the organization, from employees perhaps going down an ill-advised path?
Well, a lot of this, again, goes back to the education, to not do something you shouldn't be doing. But at the end of the day, 50% of the attacks are logging on. Cyber adversary is logging onto the network. They have been able to confiscate credentials, and they're logging on. So it's very, very difficult to actually detect them unless you're using some sophisticated technology to figure out, well, this isn't really Mike Potts logging on in his iPhone. He never goes to these sites. You need the ability to begin to determine, okay, we've got an individual authorized, but is this individual really doing what he typically does? And if not, you need to figure out in a short period of time how to remediate that and how to terminate that individual's connection. But so much of it goes back down to just trying to do the right thing so folks don't click on links that basically expose passwords, because that is basically the source of how a lot of these attackers get into the network beyond the perimeter.
And I was recently looking at a website where it was well-designed, and they were talking about where these attacks are coming from. And they had it laid out in a map kind of format, and you could see where things were coming from China and from Russia. But there were attacks coming from inside the United States on U.S. companies. And so you were able to deal with that as well.
Absolutely. I know everybody picks on the Russians and the Chinese, but it really is a global phenomenon.
Right.
it may be a young hacker in Buckhead that is launching an attack. Mm-hmm. So we have part of what we're doing in providing our customers a threat intelligence, working with law enforcement, and that is a constant feed that identifies bad actors. Ryan, for example, with Radio X, to keep you from communicating with a known bad actor on a moment-to-moment basis. So we try to prevent some of those things that we're talking about even from the onset with our threat intelligence.
Sounds like you are ahead of the cutting edge. Like before something becomes new, and you've got to know about it long before that and have a plan to combat it, because it's an evolving world here in the cybersecurity area. So where do you go to stay informed or educate yourself on what's the newest, latest, and greatest, or worst from cyber attacks?
Ryan, we are living in a constant evolving world, and you know we're trying our very best to stay one step ahead of the adversary. And through the 320 people that we have, the fact that we are growing very quickly, in the sense that our revenues compounded about 40 to 45% annually now from an acceleration point of view, and with the 18 cents on every dollar that we spend, we're hiring some deep deep technicians on the R&D side that are helping me and the rest of the company to do that. I'm doing all that I can relative to the industry itself, but mm-hmm. we have some truly wonderful experts that are helping us to stay ahead of that that next attack, if you will.
Right. So you're finding yourself hiring some of the brightest, most young and innovative minds out there. And Atlanta's got a great pool of resources to pull from there. A great community of colleges and young professionals out there who can add some benefit to your company, Landcope.
Yeah, even though I'm a University of Georgia grad, I've been converted. I've hired a number of folks from Tech.
I bet you.
And both companies, both Landcope and even Air Defense, originated out of Tech. Mm-hmm. So I think I've been given a pardon and part of a fundamental recognition from Tech that Georgia guys can do this. But not only Tech, but Clemson. We've got some East Coast corridor colleges that we work with from a recruiting point of view, and also with what we're doing from an internship perspective. So we have a constant stream of some of the brightest minds coming into this company.
And you have to, if you're growing a 400% growth, I mean, where do you see yourself growing in the next year or 5 years? The sky's the limit, I think, for folks over there at Landcope.
Sky's the limit for Landcope. We just got ranked number 2 on the Cybersecurity 500 list globally.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Only second to FireEye, and we're after them too.
Okay.
But our focus right now, if we focus on the right things, such as giving our customers an overwhelming advantage in cybersecurity, great things are going to continue to happen to us. We've got the leverage of a great partnership with Cisco that we've been able to take our product globally very rapidly and get into virtually every corner of the globe on a rapid basis. We're now working on a partnership with our Ingram distribution partner to take us into China and then into Japan, and after we get a footprint in those markets, I could truly say that we will be truly global in context.
Wow, that's great stuff. And again, if we can help you here at Business Radio X, get the word out about your services or put you in touch with other potential clients, let us know. But how does business find you these days? Are you actively out there marketing, or is it more referral-based?
We are marketing, and from a notoriety point of view, we get a lot of inbound inquiries based on the relationship with analysts, our relationships with Cisco, some of the other partners that we have that are VARs, like Didata's, the Presidio's, the WWT's Worldwide Technologies. So we're getting an influx of a number of different opportunities from a number of different parties, if you will.
Well, glad to hear that. So please share with our listeners how they can find out more information about you or your services.
Pretty simple. Go to www.landcope.com, and that's LANCOPE.com.
And also see you're on Twitter, Landcope, Facebook. You're on there as well, facebook.com/Landcope, so people can hit you up on the social media if they need to. But thank you, Mr. Potts, for joining us today in the studio. Please stick around as we turn to our headlining guest now, Jen Martin. Welcome back to the studio.
Yes, thank you.
And you are with Girl Develop It.
I am.
And the founder and co-leader here of the Atlanta chapter, is that right?
That is correct.
And so tell us, what about Girl Develop It? What are you guys doing over there?
Well, it's a nonprofit. It was started by women for women. They just saw there was an underrepresentation of tech and for women, so we are trying to get them represented.
Yeah, I see. The Girl Develop is a nonprofit organization that provides affordable programs for adult women interested in learning web and software development in a judgment-free zone.
Yes.
So kind of like Planet Fitness, they're a judgment-free zone too, but yeah.
Yeah. So judgment-free, we don't want anyone to feel like they can't do it or have any pressure about, you know, maybe asking more questions mm-hmm. than normal. And while it's for women, we've definitely had a lot of men in our class. We've had men TAs, men teachers, and as long as everyone is supportive about what we're there to do, I welcome everyone.
And it's basically web and software development.
That is correct.
And is that something you have a background in?
Yeah, so I actually graduated with a marketing and graphic design degree. I was in advertising for about 5 years and recently went back over to the client side. So I'm a product marketing manager for an automotive technology solutions company. So I work to create tech solutions for auto dealerships. And during that process, because I had the graphics background and the marketing background, I'm like, if I had code, I could be a one-man shop. So I took a Girl Develop It class in Cincinnati. Fell in love with it, did HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and when I moved down to Atlanta last year, was like, we need an organization here. And so Actually, tomorrow is our 1 year mark. I was on Business Radio X before it actually even started, promoting the launch party. And tomorrow is our 1 year anniversary. And as of tomorrow, a couple minutes ago, we have 782 women in the chapter.
Wow.
That's 782 young professionals or perhaps seasoned professionals as well, right?
To take a class, you just have to be 18 and older. I wish I could take kids younger because we always are getting those requests. But it ranges. Like, I've had people from Coke. I've had people from Cox. People that are still in college that are just trying to get internship and experience and get involved in the chapter. So it ranges. And everyone's reason for taking the class is very different. Some people just want to talk to their, you know, technology or their developers a little bit better, or some of them are just looking for a way to learn HTML so they're not paying out a freelancer $2,000 to make simple content updates, and now they're doing it themselves and saving a ton of money.
And so let's walk through a little bit of what it's like to be a member of the chapter. Not only do you get to get some training in the web and software development area, but are there network meetings you go to? Is there social gatherings? What other things do you get benefits from being a member?
Yeah, so as a member, you obviously get access to the classes, and they range. We have HTML and CSS, JavaScript. We recently had a Ruby class. Currently, there's WordPress. Next month, we still have some spots open for JavaScript. But we also do things called Code and Coffee, and that's a reason to come and just learn about the chapter, learn about people in the technology space. There's a couple women that we had, I remember over the summer, that were like, I am literally the only woman in my engineering class, and I just want someone to talk to know that, like, there's light at the end of this tunnel, and I, you know, what are the career paths I have? What are the options? Everyone thinks that I have to go to this big corporation and be a developer, but that's not true. You could go to a startup. You could go to a nonprofit. There's so many ways you can take technology. And even just knowing about it and being able to talk to it can put you on the, you know, sales and marketing side to be able to speak intelligently about the solutions that companies need. So,
very interesting. And so you get that, the support from your peers or in the industry as well. Yeah. But you can always call someone, I guess, or reach out to someone if you need some counseling help or career advancement help. Because I'm sure once you've taken that class, you just don't, you know, forget about them. There's ongoing support.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting. A lot of folks that have taken our class have told their corporations about us. And, you know, some of them have sponsored, saying, hey, you know, I'll pay for you to go through this 4-week class, because we're nonprofit. So it's usually about $90 for a 4-week class. 50% of that goes to the teacher, because we realize to get good teachers, we're going to have to pay them a little bit. And the rest just goes to, like, marketing the chapter and getting, you know, power cords and that kind of thing. It's, we don't really make tons of money off of it. Mm-hmm. But through that, they've said, oh, you know, we need a UX person, or we need a developer, or front end or back end or whatever. And so I get these messages all the time, like, hey, can you post this job on your job board? And there's been several students that have found jobs through those job postings that are now in technology, that they're like, I've made a career change and now I'm in it for the long haul.
Mm-hmm. So. And what is it about technology that draws you to it?
Oh, my gosh. I am obsessed. I think I was up at like midnight as soon as the Apple phone was available and was like, I need the newest one. I need to see how this works. I just think it's so interesting that it changes the way that you interact with daily life. I mean, it could be anything from doing my job differently or finding a more efficient process. And I mean, it's amazing the time savings or the new ways of thinking things. I mean, just yesterday I was like on a conversation with one of my friends and he was talking about video games. And I'm like, ooh, I have an idea of how I can change this to make it better. And that excitement just draws me in and keeps me passionate.
And is that something you've been excited about ever since you were a little girl, or is it only recently that you got to develop that passion?
Yeah, I think I just have like a natural curiosity of how things work and how they make them better and easier and more fun. And so I'm the person that's going to take apart the whole entire radio to see how it works versus just buy a new one.
Please don't take apart this one. Right. We're using this one right now, but maybe afterwards. Yeah. And we often have women in technology in here represented. They come and visit us quite a bit. Yeah. And we talked to Sandy Welfare. She's executive director. And just some of the things that they are doing and the stories they're sharing.
Good friends of ours.
Yeah. Very amazing group. Really love it. And they have their big event that they have coming up in November, the Women of the Year event. So we always encourage our listeners to check out about that. But this is my first experience with Girl Develop It. And now we have another resource that we can point people to. They can go ahead and advance their career or get in touch with their technology side. And so where do you see the organization growing here in Atlanta over the next year or more?
I hope it grows to, you know, getting more teachers, more people in the organization. So we have grown way more than I ever thought we would. So some of our other chapters, they just had like a 3-year anniversary party and hit 1,000 members. I'm like, we are already almost at 800 at year one.
Wow.
So this is insane. The passion that people have for this is absolutely
And I think that speaks
incredible.
Also to the community of technology here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
How we are really the, you know, technology hub of the South, if not the East Coast.
I completely agree with that. And it's been like probably largely due to a lot of our partnerships. Women in Technology actually gave us a grant to keep us going, and they've been in our classes. They're amazing. I can't speak, you know, anything bad about them. They've done a wonderful job helping us. But hopefully it grows. We're always looking for teachers. We're looking for space. And honestly, in order for it to grow, we need more leadership. So there's a couple of us that are co-leads that are trying to organize and get things going, but my dream would be have 5 more, and we're always looking for people. And that's great to put on your resume as an internship or experience, leadership opportunities. It's amazing.
And we're talking with Jen Martin. She is founder and co-leader of Girl Development Atlanta chapter. You can find them, more information about them at girldevelopment.com. And so, you've got this chapter just booming here within a year, and there's plenty of room to grow. But what are some other things that you would like to start offering young women or seasoned of technology women out there in the future?
Yeah, well, first of all, we have our anniversary party tomorrow, and I'd love for everyone to come out and get involved.
Please tell us where that is and how listeners can go.
It's in the Pond City Market area, and you can sign up on our meetup page, which is accessible through girldevelopit.com. It's a free event. Just come out. There might be a little free gift for the first couple folks that come in. I don't know. Hint, hint. So we're just trying to get everyone passionate about the chapter. We also have our JavaScript class that is in October. There's still a couple of seats available. So that's a 4-class series. November and December, we typically take months off due to the holidays. We realize it's kind of crazy, and Atlanta traffic is never in our favor during those months. But we already next year have great events already planned. January, we have intro to HTML and CSS. February, we have an intro to Ruby class. We're doing HTML and CSS again in March. It's always a favorite. JavaScript in April, and then intro to PHP in May. So we have a lot of classes already lined up.
Yeah, get signed up now. Is this something that you can go to your employer and ask that they pay for it as well?
Oh, absolutely. We've had so many people that are like, yes, go to the class, learn more. And employers love it because it just helps them do their job better. And it's a very low cost point. I know there's a lot of other people that have technology classes here, but they're usually more immersive, and they're a couple of $1,000 to attend. And we totally support them and say, hey, if that's the next step, go there. But in order just to get your feet wet and see what you're capable of, come take our class for $90. It ends up equating to like $20 per class. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And your employer should be happy to pay for it because they know that you're advancing in your career education, but you're probably more likely to stick around the company a little longer if they're out there financially supporting you as well. So,
absolutely.
Or if you got to come at it with pocket, you certainly are going to get a great experience out of it and can use it to your advantage to advance your career as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everyone that's taken our HTML and CSS class leaves with a website built. And a lot of those girls have come at that same time, like, listen, I have my resume up online. I have my own personal website. I have my own personal URL. Now I can send people on LinkedIn to my own personal blog, and it's all there, and I'm marketed. And I'm like, this is great. This is a great way to promote yourself in the community. We've also helped, you were talking about Gwinnett being a largely international. I think it's like the square miles of
it
one
is,
of the company.
Yeah. Gwinnett is going to become, or the way Gwinnett looks right now is the way the country's going to be in about 20 years as far as demographic and diversity.
Yeah. And there was a lot of entrepreneurs, I remember last year, that were trying to get startups going, whether that be a food truck or whatever. And we actually kind of helped them out and said, hey, if you need a website, you could partner with some of our girls that just took a class so they can get experience, put that on their resume to say, I built this website for this person. We always encourage the girls that take the class to do kind of a nonprofit or startup project after, because it's really hard to get hired when you're like, I took a 4-week class. So that's a great way to insert themselves and get that experience.
Great, and we think that you're doing great things, and it's going to grow even more, not only in Atlanta, but other chapters around the country, but particularly Atlanta, because of the technology community we have here and the female entrepreneurial community we have here. We see it all the time here on the Business Radio X Network. Female entrepreneurs doing great things out there and really changing the way business is done. And we certainly encourage that some more. So how can listeners find out more information about your organization or yourself as well?
GirlDevelopIt.com. And then you can just click on the Atlanta chapter. We do have 52 chapters. So some of our bigger cities have multiple chapters. So I'd love Atlanta to get to the point where we have one like outside the perimeter and then one inside the perimeter. I know it's kind of crazy. So yeah, go there and it'll take us to your meetup page where you can sign up for the classes. There are a couple of free events on there as well as the classes. And then, there's Facebook, Twitter. I think we have a Google Plus page, an Instagram page. We have it all. So
right. And so Twitter is GDI Atlanta. If you want to find them there. Facebook also is facebook.com/GDI Atlanta. And Jen Martin is on LinkedIn. So if you want to connect with her professionally there, please look her up. And that's Jen, JenMartin, Jen Martin on LinkedIn. So thank you so much for joining us today. Look forward to having you back into the studio, maybe again here real soon. Or maybe we'll see you out in the community. And before we get out, let's revisit with our guest here today so we can give out those event dates and websites. And so, Judith, if you will, just tell us about the date of the event and how people can find out more information.
Yes, it is Expo Mujer on November 14th at the Infinity Center, formerly Winnet Convention Center. And the website is Expo Mujer. I'm going to spell it for you, M-U-J-E-R, M-U-J-E-R.com. And the reason why I'm saying this is because my daughter the other day did M-U-H-E-R, like her. But no, it's in Spanish. So expomujer.com.
Well, you have to educate me a little bit because I don't know what mujer means. So can you tell?
Oh, mujer means women.
Oh, well, all right.
Oh, we should have started like that.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Okay. That, hey, I need to brush up on my Spanish skills and maybe a good place
well,
to do that.
Well, it's pink, so I thought it was so obvious, but I guess it's not. So.
Expo Mujer.
Yeah, Expo Mujer, G-A, Georgia.com.
Well, when you're not out there changing the world of women and Latinas and all that, what do you like to do in your off time? What do you do to take your mind off things and get away?
I love crafting, doing crafty stuff. So I'm big on recycling bottles and just making art with recycling
stuff.
So
you're kind of crafty.
I am very crafty.
Interesting.
Yes. Hobby lovey. Oh, I don't know if you're I was not supposed to say that, but it's kind of my place to go and unwind and relax.
Well, we know where we can find you when you're not out there planning great expos for the Latina community.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Judith, for joining us here on the Business Radio X Network and Atlanta Business Radio Show. And Gigi, just remind our listeners more information how they can find out about you or your organization.
I have a LinkedIn page if you want to connect with me. G-G-G-I-G-I Pedraza, P-E-D-R-A-Z-A. Mm-hmm. It's my LinkedIn and my Twitter handle, too.
And that's Pedraza with one Z.
Correct.
Yeah, not two Z's. Sometimes could be spelled that way. So like, make sure you check her out there on LinkedIn or go visit yosoym.com or yosoym underscore at Twitter. And so when you're not out there entrepreneuring, putting events together, what do you like to do in your off time?
I paint.
You're crafty as well. What do you like to paint?
I like to think I'm creative.
Okay. Very creative.
I paint women, naked women.
Okay. Well, that's very creative. I would like to look at some of those paintings one day. We'll see about that. But but thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us here on the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Please do come back and visit or let us know how we can help you further. And Mike Potts with Landcope. Again, how can folks find out more information about you or your organization?
Well, Ryan, the most simplistic site to go to is www.landcope.com. We have a slew of seminars, webinars, events, trade shows, so I won't go into all those. I'll be here for a while.
Right.
But the easiest way to get access to those is going to the website, in addition to the Twitter site that you mentioned, and all of us are on LinkedIn as well. But Landcope.com is your best bet.
Very nice. And you mentioned earlier you are a University of Georgia grad, so can we find you cheering on the Bulldogs on Saturdays?
I'm mostly fighting the war against cyber right now,
okay.
So I haven't had much time.
Not much
downtime. I do tune in, and my wife and I do occasionally getting her into playing golf, so we live up here in Johns Creek, so try to get out. And in the wintertime, I'm an avid snow skier when I get a chance.
Very nice. So you're active as well. But thank goodness there's men like you and companies like Landcope out there protecting our cyber world. So keep up the good work. Come back in the studio anytime and share a success story or bring a delighted client along with you. We'd love to hear their perspective about how you're helping them out. So thank you, Mr. Mike Potts. And Jen Martin, once again, Girl Develop It,
yep.
girldevelopment.com. You can follow them on Twitter at GDI Atlanta or GDI Atlanta on Facebook. Over 780 women have joined just in the last year, looking to increase that number going forward in the next year. And you got lots of events that are happening as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So people can go to the website to find out more information about that.
Come to the anniversary party tomorrow.
That's right. That's tomorrow. But you also mentioned in the beginning you have a full-time job. This is kind of a hobby for you or a passion of yours.
Yep.
So do you have time for yourself? And if you do, what do you like to do?
So in addition to full-time job and this, I do a couple startup ventures on the side. And outside of that, I'm a Pinterest addict. I just built my own kitchen table. So I'm always doing something. I don't think I can sit and just watch TV.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what
Same
that means.
Here. Well, we don't know.
That's interesting. You use technology to spur your other hobbies, which is Pinterest is a great resource for that. So, any new projects on the horizon that you'd like to tackle before the end of the year?
I just finished the kitchen table, the woodworking was a brand new venture for me.
Oh,
so,
cool. Very good. That's great. Always learning new things about our great guests. So thank you all so much for joining us here today. Make sure, listeners, you're out there checking us out on Twitter at Business Radio X. There, also find us on Facebook at Business Radio X. And if your company is doing something interesting to generally serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page on the website at businessradiox.com and pitch us your story. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan McPherson. We will see you on the radio.